stars of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
All right, welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We thank you for joining us tonight, as we hope you do every night. Dean Wheeler and Stephen Bozell will rejoin us here from the night spot in the Inland Empire that they are currently at. It's a jazz club out in, I think it's in the Corona area, and Dean Wheeler's wife, Emerald, is performing there. Dean is also the attorney, newly hired attorney of Steve Bozell, and we've got him on the line. Dean, are you there?
Phil, it's Steve Bozell.
Okay, is Dean still...
Dean is still consulting with the piano player for his wife's band. We've been listening to Mrs. Wheeler, and I think she's very, very good. And hi, Phil. It's Dean Wheeler. I'm back. I'm sorry. Steve and I are sharing the same phone, so I'm having to lean in and talk, and he leans in. And I do apologize to you, Steve, for making some comments. We had a problem with his breath, and we got some Clorets into him.
All right. Well, enough. Less said about that, the better. Wouldn't you agree?
I absolutely agree, and I apologize for getting away from. Let me just say something. When you lean in like that, though, your lips almost touch mine. I have to say, all right. Okay, I'm all right. I'm okay. Just remember.
Well, you guys are leaning in on the same phone. Is that a cell phone?
It is a cell phone, yeah, Phil. And
all right, you don't need to lean in. You can just hand the phone back and forth. Or if, Steve, if you have a phone, you can call. We have two lines here.
Okay, why are we leaning in?
Because that's what you do when you have a phone. I didn't know.
You didn't know?
Well, Mr. Hendry, I can tell you right now, and you can take this to the bank, as I heard you use that phrase. I'm not leaning in on the phone with Mr. Bozell because I want my lips almost touching his.
I don't think you do. So the question is, you don't need to lean in. If it's one cell phone, you can hand it back and forth.
All right, well, that's something I didn't think of. I did not think of it either, sir.
All right. Well, that having been, would you like to take some time to call us?
I can do that. Have you got a cell phone? No, I don't. My wife April does. Hold on.
All right. Steve has gotten up to go get his wife April.
Now, where is she?
April's over near the bandstand. She's listening to Emeralda right now. And I've talked to this horn player, Phil.
Well, the last time we had you on, Dean... The last time we had you on, you were complaining about this horn player, and you didn't like his... I don't know what you didn't like.
I don't like him hogging the grand. I don't like him hogging the spotlight. He jumps into this solo. He's playing a bugle or a cornet. What do you call it, a cornet?
A cornet.
Well, whatever it is, it's the stupidest-looking horn I've ever seen. And right here, you remember what I said about this piano player? The band is all wrong. The band's all wrong. The guys get shirts. The guys get shirts. Okay? I want to ask you something, Phil. What happens? A pilot is landing an aircraft. He sees the runway, but what else does he depend on?
Instruments.
Instruments. He's got to look at the instruments. Okay? Now, she's the star up there.
What, did you listen to that Paul Anka outtape take?
Which one?
Never mind. Here comes... I think I see Steve coming, and I'm nowhere near Corona.
No, you're not. Yeah, Steve, yeah, he's here.
Yeah, I got a phone. I'm going to call.
Don't lean into the phone. You're almost kissing me on the lips.
Sorry. I've got my wife's phone. Can I do it now?
Yeah, do you need another Clorette?
Boy, this guy has got a thing about my breath.
Well, you know what? A full day of doing whatever you're doing.
Okay, who am I talking to?
I'm sorry, it's Dean Wheeler, Phil.
All right, then why don't you guys talk?
Because Steve left. I didn't know you wanted to talk to me.
Yes, I do, because you're the attorney.
That's right, I'm sorry. I've been sidetracked, Phil. Steve Bozell is going to have his legal matters handled by me. I've talked to Dolores Blazingame. I've talked to Beverac Belair. Bev Belair is the shortened version of...
What's his first name?
Beverac. He's a Romanian or something, but they've got an office out in Riverside. It's very... I don't approve of it at all.
What don't you approve of?
Well, it's very... she's a very... apparently, and I shouldn't talk out of school because she's an attorney. She's a fellow member of the attorney, lawyer bar, of the bar profession, lawyer thing, whatever they call it. And somebody said to me that she's...
She's what?
She's mobbed up.
Mobbed up?
Yeah. And I think that Steve has been taken advantage of long enough. And
well, I'll tell you this, Dean, and you know, boy, you better watch what you're saying there.
No, believe me. I'm keeping an eye on things, but I know. But you got to understand something. I've traveled in some pretty seedy and depraved circles. Just because I run a holistic center for, you know, old women come up there and get rubdowns or whatever, it doesn't mean I haven't walked on the rotten, filthy side of life. Here comes Steve, so just keep it under. Hey, Steve, how you doing?
All right, Mr. Henry, I'm going to call up now.
Lean in.
Sorry. I'm going to call up Mr. Henry and...
All right, we'll be waiting for your call.
Okay.
So he's going to use his wife's phone and she'll call and you can...
We can, yes, sir. We can facilitate. Everything's good.
What number?
He needs to know the number. Well, I...
Look, we'll call him, all right? So we'll get his number from... We'll get his number from him when we go to our break, okay?
Going to get your number from you when they go to a break.
I can give it to him right now.
No, don't give it to us now because he's on the air.
You're on the air, Steve. I try to tell him. He doesn't understand.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. Just sit down and have yourself another drink. Get a glass of milk. Have a tuna fish sandwich. Do something. God. So, Phil, this Blazin game, I'm talking about Dolores, okay? This Blazin game and this Beverac Belair, who is some Romanian. And anytime anybody says Russian or Romanian to me, you know, I don't need to use my imagination. I know what those people are about. They're vicious. Vicious.
Even the attorneys?
Oh, the worst. So I said to Steve, let me handle this. And that's what we're going to do.
You know, Dean, as a friend of Steve's, I appreciate that very much.
Well, it's, you know, I think he needs that.
And he has had that attorney for a long time, and he has been...
We're not talking, Steve. Hold on for a minute. Steve's sitting over there. You just got your hands in your lap like you're a bad little boy or something.
Can you get a beer?
Yeah, you can get a beer. Of course you can get a beer. Hey, you. What's your name? Hey, Eddie, get him a beer, will you? Put it on my tab. Yeah, see? Relax, will you? I love him. Steve Bozell, he's something else.
So, Dean, you taking over this means what? You're consolidating?
That's exactly right.
What is the first lawsuit that you're going to handle?
Well, we'll probably go all the way back to the beginning, and for me, the beginning, the one that's winnable, is the Y2K, the KY jelly cakes.
You talking about KY jelly?
Yes, I am, Steve, but don't get a glint in your eye. I'm talking about the lawsuit.
Oh.
Anyway, I swear to God, if she whispers, I've done so much good work.
Will you forget about your wife on stage for a minute?
No. How can I forget about my wife? Have you ever seen my wife?
No, I haven't.
Yeah, okay. You won't forget about her either. But when she whispers, so many years of anger management, so many years of working with the men's group there at Clinton. I didn't go to Clinton. I was at Plaquerville. But
that was the you were at Plaquerville.
Yeah. Oh well. Ooh. I'm not Charles Manson, okay? I smacked my wife around, and a heroin arrest. She's coming off the stand. I got to talk that whispering thing. I swear to God.
All right, Dean, let's not talk about her right now.
I'm sorry. All right, so in any event, I am going to... who's the guy that's hooting at her?
Hello, sir. You want me to speak?
Yeah, go over there and find out who that is. Eduardo? Go and find out who it is. Eduardo's a great guy. He's serving me. So what we're going to do, fellas, we're going to have him... we're going to take on this Roy Hutchins, because Hutchins is the one that was laughing at him when he was loading those cases of KY jelly back into his truck to take it back to the pharmacy that he bought it at after he realized that civilization wasn't going to end. Okay?
Right. So while he was loading that back in...
And while he was loading it back in, Hutchins was laughing. We maintain, and I will maintain on behalf of my client, that it caused emotional scarring, damage, that he was laughed at in front of his son, laughed at in front of his wife, an overall atmosphere of laughter pervaded, and the laughter echoed in his ears for a long time. Now, I know that sounds fanciful. And
well, what does that mean in legal terms?
Well, what it means in legal terms, if someone is laughing at you and the laughter echoes in your ears for long after the event, there is a memory, a scarring memory of you being laughed at. And so when you say in legal terms, what do you mean?
What I mean is if you put that into a lawsuit, what do you call that?
Well, we call it emotional scarring. I don't know, emotional...
Emotional cruelty?
Yeah. You can do that, although that's a marriage term. But something that is going to look good to the judge, you know, that's, I don't know.
Are you working with anybody?
Well, Emeralda is acting as my clerk and doing some, legal assistant, I should say. And why do you think it's not?
I don't think putting into a lawsuit, laughter echoing in your ears long after the event.
No, I'm not going to put that in the lawsuit. We're going to make it look good. But the point that I'm making here, Phil, is I'm going to save this poor man money. He's been given this woman 30 G's, 40 G's a year as a retainer, and what is he getting? Not one of these lawsuits has ever gone before a judge, and we're going to change all that. Wheeler and, the Northern California Holistic Center and Practice, Esquire, Wheeler and Associates, yeah, we're making a difference. 2013 is the year we make a difference, right, Steve?
That's right, Wheeler.
That's right. All right, now I got to find my way.
All right, hold on. We'll be right back, okay? Because we want to get Steve on the line.
Oh, I thought I was done.
No. Okay, fine. We'll talk to Steve.
No, then I'm not done.
All right. Well, Steve, has he called?
Yeah, I got Mr. Bozell on the phone right now. You want to hear what he sounds like?
Steve, you there?
Hey, Bill.
Okay. We'll be right back on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch.
Hello, Elder?
The
Hello,
Phil
Elder,
Hendry Show.
What's going on with you? You and the piano player. Well, what's he looking at you for like that?
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
All right, welcome back here, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. And on the line is Dean Wheeler and Stephen Bozell as we continue talking about something that I think is a fairly momentous in the life of you, Mr. Bozell, from the lawsuits. And if you want to know about Steve Bozell and his efforts at obtaining justice in a variety of areas in American life, all you have to do is go online and put in the name Steve Bozell, G. Gordon Liddy, even read a list of your lawsuits, correct?
Can I jump in here, Phil? Watch what you... I want to monitor what you say, Steve, because I don't want you to overstep, you know?
I understand that, sir. Yes, sir.
Whoa, hold on. Are you talking about you and what?
Yes, about G. Gordon Liddy.
I'll take that one, Phil. Yeah.
Why do you have to take that?
Well, it was my ego. All of a sudden, Steve Bozell's being talked about on the G. Gordon Liddy Show. I just...
Yeah, maybe you ought to go find your wife, huh?
Oh, yeah, okay, that's right, yeah, Yeah, I'll go sit at the kids' table.
Come on now, Mr. Wheeler.
Forget it.
Mr. Wheeler is off,
Yeah, he's got to go talk to his wife and the piano player and the bugle player, as he calls him, or the cornet player, who it probably is, and more likely, the guy's just a trumpet player.
Boy, you really know all about music and everything, Mr. Hendry.
No, I don't know about music. I just know that it's very unlikely that there's a bugle player in a jazz band. So anyway, you, yes, you're a prominent guy, and as I've said to people, they can look you up online. You've really taken the battle to a lot of areas of American law, haven't you?
Well, I thank you for that, Mr. Hendry, and I've tried to do the very best that I know how. But it has all come out of my desire to not want to be laughed at by my own child, and my daughter, of course, and you've been familiar with my battles with the Corona Middle School, CK Corona Middle School, where my daughter be told things by the Corona middle school staff that I would say, well, I don't think that's right, and they would then come back and have me stand in front of a sixth grade class and get my ass ripped. I'd get my ass handed to me by a six-year-old. That's very, you know, that'll bring you down to a level that you have never been at before. And
well, no, wait a minute, not a six-year-old. It's the...
Oh, it's a sixth grade class, I'm sorry. You're right, sir. Yeah, Dean's here.
Hi, Phil. I couldn't help but overhear having his ass handed to him by who?
By sixth graders.
Oh, that's another thing. May I?
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Mr. Bozell has been subjected to haranguing, to the abuse, to the what I consider to be the unmitigated harassment of a middle school staff because he does not hold the same political viewpoints of that school. This is unprecedented, and it is it is untenable.
Oh, yeah. Yay!
My wife's going on stage. Hit it out of the park, baby. Yeah. Woo! That's my wife up there. Huh? That's my wife, yeah. What's that? You bet she's tasty. Watch how you say that, pal.
Okay, let's not get into a fight, okay?
All right, I'm all right. If I hear that horn player, though, I'm going to have to lay the phone down. You know that.
Yes, sir, I'm alerted to that.
Phil?
Yes.
If I hear the horn player, the phone, I'm going to lay the phone down. I'm going up there.
Don't.
I'm not going to do anything. I'm just going to go up and stare at him. She still can't hit those high notes. All right, Dean. So that, my name is Dean, and you're who?
I'm Steve Bozilser.
Oh, that's right, yeah. Okay, yeah, that's why we're on here. So I got to tell you, Phil, I've had so many wonderful experiences with Steve and his wife, April, and they've come out here to the club with us. And... Oh, no.
Well, I guess you did it.
No, I...
Okay,
Oh, no. Here, take the phone.
I've got a phone.
I hang it up.
Mr. Henry, I'm still here.
Okay, what did he just do?
Yeah, I just saw him kind of trot. He's not running, but he's doing kind of a jog up to the stage there. And I don't know what.
Well, I don't understand why you have a horn player in a quartet or whatever. How many people are on stage?
There's the singer, that's Mrs. Wheeler. There's a piano player. There's a guy playing one of those big fiddles.
Like a bass? A big bass?
Yeah, big. It looks like a big fiddle.
Big stand-up bass. Okay, and then what?
Then there's a guy who had the bugle, or not a bugle, he's got some kind of horn. And then there's another guy playing on the drums.
Okay. And then she's there, yeah.
And now Mr. Wheeler has gone up on stage, standing behind the man what's playing a horn.
He's standing...
Well, what are you laughing at?
Well, nothing, I'm not laughing at anything. What do you think of her as a singer?
I don't know. I mean, she's okay, I guess. I'm not here to... I mean, I had a nice, very nice dinner. We had a very nice supper, and I also had me a beer. I don't really drink Heineken beer, but they let me have very tasty beer.
And where's your wife?
Well, she's up over there now, standing there. And not standing. She's at a bar, and she's talking to people, and she's listening to the music. We come back here just to talk about it, you know, talk about all the lawsuits.
All right, so, Steve, let me ask you... Mr. Wheeler, do you have confidence in him?
Well, I do know that he is, like I said, he's done this consolidation thing. We had that lawsuit against the Riverside Pool, the dive stick lawsuit. And
well, tell me about the dive stick.
Well, the dive stick lawsuit was simply that back in the days when the state, and we were responsible for getting the dive stick outlawed, but not because Dolores Blazengame did anything. It was on account of we was on your show, but he's pacing back and forth. I don't know what he's going to do.
Who is?
Mr. Wheeler, because every time that horn player gets going, he's... Yeah, oh, now he's really... He's pointing at the horn player, and he's grabbing his own crotch. Now he's upset with it. There's all kinds of yelling going on. Yeah.
Okay, maybe I should let you go, okay?
Well, Mr. Henry, I do appreciate you having me on the... Yeah, I gotta go. Thank you, sir, very much. And
well, I wish you all the success in the world. The dive stick lawsuit, though, I'll tell people, was about you jumping in. You were doing a cannonball competition, and you had a dive stick that got somehow, you know, wedged up blank blank.
Yes, sir.
And you got out of the pool, and you were walking as casually as you could because you knew you had this thing hanging out of you. And so...
Yeah, and I sued the pool for the embarrassment of me having a dive stick, you know, shoved. And the pool, at first they laughed, but then they heard me on your show, and now there's legislation, the dive stick is outlawed now. Boy, he's really looking angry now because he's doing that whisper thing, which I guess he doesn't like.
Well, what is he doing?
Well, right now he's talking very animatedly to the cornet player.
Okay.
And there, yeah, he's pointing at him, and he's got his finger in his face, and he's just... reading him the riot act. Meanwhile, she's whispering away, so I guess.
All right. Well, thank you very, very much, Mr. Bozell. It's been great talking to you, and we wish you the best of success.
Thank you, Mr. Henry. It's been great talking to you.
What is going on with that man and the piano player is what I don't understand.
Dean Wheeler's wife, that's her singing, okay?
That's his wife?
Yeah.
She's terrible.
Well, don't tell him that, because he's banking a lot on her.
Well, I'm a professional... Let me explain something, Phil. I am a professional singer.
Hi, Margaret. I know you're a professional singer. I understand that. And I'm not saying that she's better than you. This is just their little... He's got his wife. All of a sudden, he thinks she's a singer. So he's got her in all these little clubs up and down the California coast. I don't know that she's played in anything bigger than like a, you know, some 20-table joint. I don't know what this club is that she's in. And he doesn't like horn players. Apparently, these guys are hitting on her, too.
Well, that's going to happen with musicians, Phil. They're all reefer heads. They smoke their reefer and they hit on the singer. I know. Believe me, I know.
Why? Did you used to hit on the singer?
You dirty Phil.
Hey! Hey! All right, we'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show.
Yeah!
Phil Henry. This is the world famous Phil Henry Show.
But my understanding was that that's what he did.
Yeah, I heard that too.
Well, you guys have got to be high on a mixture of chemicals.
You know what I don't like? Yeah, I know that we're back. And ladies and gentlemen, if you just... What I don't like about you more than anything is when someone is wrong, you immediately attribute it to drug use.
All right, let me just tell the audience what you guys are saying, okay?
Fine, Phil, but put it in a way that they won't... We won't be ridiculed.
I'm going to tell them exactly what you said. The audience, and welcome back to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. I was talking to Dan here because Dan played the trumpet in high school and in middle school. And we were talking about trumpet players because Dean wanted to strangle that horn player, you know.
Yeah, that guy played a bugle.
He didn't play a bugle. Dean's an idiot. He doesn't know the difference between a bugle, a trumpet, and a cornet. Most likely the guys are playing a trumpet. If he's in a little jazz combo, it's got to be a trumpet.
Oh, and you know why.
Because I've seen enough of those kinds of combos and bands and quartets. It's got to be a trumpet. But the point I'm making here is that Dan and I are talking about this, and Margaret chimes in because Dan mentioned Dizzy Gillespie. Now, Dizzy Gillespie was a famous jazz trumpet player. Dizzy Gillespie also played a trumpet that was bent as the result of what, Margaret?
Well, I believe it was damaged, and he liked the way it looked, and he liked the way it sounded, so he kept it that way.
Right, and God knows he probably had a lot of them made after that. But Dizzy Gillespie had this horn that was bent straight up. But the bigger claim to fame, if you want to give it that connotation about Dizzy Gillespie, was that he had the cheeks of his face would balloon out to this enormous size. He had some kind of elasticity there in his cheeks that when he blew that horn, and you get any YouTube clip of Dizzy Gillespie at the Newport Jazz Festival, any one of the different appearances, and you'll see him as he plays this horn and these cheeks of his, you know. Now, Margaret and Bud said it's because he used to shove a couple of cantaloupes in there. Is that right?
Yeah.
Well, that's what I heard.
Well, here's what I'm going to say to that. Bullcrap.
Phil, that's what I mean. Okay, and am I high on drugs?
How do you get two cantaloupes in your face?
Take a look at the man's face.
Hey, Phil, how did his face get ballooned out like that unless he put a cantaloupe in it?
You can't get a cantaloupe into a man's mouth, okay?
Well, I could make a joke here.
What joke are you going to make?
Yeah, what joke can you make that's not going to bounce back on you?
I'm going to...
Hey!
I'm going to kill him.
Bud.
I don't care. You hurt me. I'm going to get Mr. Wheeler in.
Oh, that's a good one. That's a hot one. My husband's a lawyer. He would make Dean... You know what he'd do? He'd have Dean Wheeler... wearing a dress within 45 minutes.
Whatever that means.
Yeah, well, think about it. Dean would be calling him Daddy.
Okay, all right. So, no, it's not because he wedged a cantaloupe in his face or anything like that.
Or I heard they put a balloon in there and then a guy would blow it up.
No, you idiot. He had a physical condition. If you hear Dizzy Gillespie talk about it, it was literally some kind of a physical condition that created this elasticity. Because if you, talking to Dan who played the trumpet, and any of you trumpet players out there.
Well, what do you mean, any of you trumpet players out there?
If we have anybody listening that's a trumpet player.
Well, that would mean you have jazz musicians listening to you, and right now they're on stage.
Yeah, right now they're on a bandstand blowing their brains out.
Right now they're on the bandstand blowing their brains out. Okay.
Well, you know what? Out of the mouths of babes, he's right.
Okay, great, fine. The point I'm making here is Dizzy Gillespie said in an interview, I heard him say it, he says it's a physical condition, it's a kind of a if you want to call it a malady, he said, but there's no skin or muscle tone there that restricts or, you know, keeps those, when you put air into the mouth, his cheeks would, you know, expand like that. Because, according to my good close personal friend, Mr. Northcraft, and other trumpet players, you have to actually tighten those muscles.
Why? You got to tighten the muscles. You got to get a lot of air going.
I don't know. Do you play trumpet?
Well,
do you play the trumpet?
Oh, well, that's dirty pool, Phil. Of course he doesn't play it. Neither do I. Does that mean I don't know anything about the trumpet? I am a singer, and I know about the improvisational style.
Well, what's so you know about the improvisational style? So what?
So that means that what it means is this. What do you mean he has to tighten his cheeks up? My God.
Oh, okay. Here we go with another homosexual.
Well, you're talking about tight cheeks.
Yeah, I got to tell you, Mr. Ryan, because I've been talking to Mr. Hall for the last 30 minutes. I mean, 30 seconds, excuse me, not 30 minutes.
You've been talking to Mr. Hall for the last 30 seconds about what?
About that tight cheek.
Oh, for crying out. Does he want to talk to me?
You want to talk to Phil? He said, yeah, he want to talk to you, but he don't want you giving him a hard time.
I'll give him a hard time.
Well, he's, what? Yeah, I hear.
Am I on the air?
Yeah, you're on the air with me.
I didn't want to talk to you.
Well, you're talking to me.
Well, what is this, tight cheeks?
That's a reference to the cheeks of one's face.
No, I know that. I know what you meant. But I'm trying to tell you, and as I've been trying to tell you, Phil, for I don't know how many years, when you say something on the radio, you've got radio listeners. You've got me. You've got management. You got Bud. You got Margaret. You got all your friends, whoever, whatever. It doesn't matter. But when you're on the radio, you also have the audience. And they will take what you say, and they'll do anything they want with it. You understand that?
No, I don't understand that. They can't do anything they want with it. They can only do with it what it says, okay?
Oh, really? So when you say I was at the jazz thing and I saw a guy's tight cheeks, guess what? That immediately goes to the FCC, and you've got some gentleman on the commission there who hears you talking about a guy's cheeks being tight. And
he hears me talking about a jazz band.
He doesn't know from jazz. Why would he know?
Because is he listening to the tape?
He's listening to what got mailed in.
So in other words, somebody out there tapes my show and sends in simply the line, tight cheeks.
Right, and we are dead. We're dead men. Dead men walking. You never seen a dead man walking?
I saw it, Mr. Hall.
Right. That was about a guy.
Yeah, about a dead man walking.
Right, it was about a dead man walking.
But what does that mean?
What did it mean, bud?
It was about Sean Penn.
Yeah, it was about Sean Penn. See?
Dead Man Walking was about a guy, that's what they call a guy in prison who is coming through when he is on his way from here to there. Dead Man Walking mean he's a dead man, he's on death row.
What did you just say? Boy, you know, it would be great for you to explain things, Phil, in less than book form. You know?
I will do it. David, it's Margaret.
Yeah.
Dead Man Walking was a film with, Sean
Penn.
Sean Penn and Susan Sarandon, or Susan Sarandon, if she insists on the full name. I like to keep it less Jewish.
What does that mean?
She's talking about just, you know, for Hollywood.
What do you mean, less Jewish?
Well, Sarandon, is my understanding, is the full Hebrew.
Well, I'm watching a video cast. Why are you staring at the camera like you just smelled something?
Because you know what? Figuratively, I just did smell something. I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know what Margaret's talking about. I'm not going to listen any more of this. I'm going to tell you this, and then I'm hanging the phone up on you. All right?
Well, if you want to be rude.
No, but yeah, I guess in your mind I will be rude. The tight cheeks I was talking about were someone's face cheeks. Dizzy Gillespie.
All right, so you got a thing for Dizzy Gillespie's ass.
You know what, man? He's the stupidest ass I've ever talked to in my life.
Phil, don't you know when he's winding you up?
No, he's not whining. You don't understand. He's not winding me up. He really thinks this stuff.
No, I think he calls in to test you.
Yeah, he's calling up to test to see if it'll rock your world.
So?
Yeah, if you can keep it cool, then he realizes everything's good.
So he calls up to mess with my show, is what you're saying.
Well, no, he's not calling up to mess with your show.
Yes, he is. He calls up to throw in a couple of hand grenades to see how well I work in that situation. And then he hangs up and then he goes his merry way. And that's not what you do. That's not what you should do. Okay?
Well, but I think you handled pretty good.
Well, he hung up on him.
Yeah, I did hang up on him. And I think that, David, if you're out there listening, which I know you are,
No, he always says that he never, you should know, he never listens ever.
Oh, my ass. He just was listening.
No, after he gets off the phone with you, he said never does he listen. Never, ever, ever.
Yeah, that's what I heard him say, too.
Well, it stands to reason if he's out to dinner.
Well, I'm sorry that he isn't listening, because I would say to him the following thing. That if you call me up and you say something asinine like that, like I was talking about a guy's ass when I was talking about tight cheeks, because we were talking about, you know...
It's just getting worse, Phil. Back up. Go again.
If you're listening, David, and you are...
Calm down. Just settle down. Take a deep breath. All right, go.
If you're...
What's wrong with you?
Now I got you staring at me. If you're out there listening, David, and you think that when I talked about a guy's tight cheeks, I meant someone's ass, there's something wrong with you. Maybe you think about ass.
He's going to get mad at that.
He's not listening, I thought.
Oh, yeah.
All right, folks. So our number 877, what I wanted to do, actually, was play an exit. What's...
I heard that. So you're saying that I'm hot for Dizzy Gillespie's ass. Well, I...
Will you get rid of him?
I'm sorry.
Don't put a guy on the air like that.
He probably felt it was important.
I thought I should put him up right away.
He ain't listening, huh?
He probably wasn't until you started talking about him, didn't
he? Then he had to listen, right?
Yeah.
Okay, well, that makes sense. He probably wasn't listening, and then I started to talk about him, and, you know...
Bud, I think...
Yeah, quit while you're ahead.
Oh.
All right, 877-876-7445. We're giving the number out even though the call screening computer is broken because it sounds more big time. Hi, I'm Phil Hendry. By the way, with a backstage pass, that's not broken. Our backstage pass is wide open, if you'll pardon the expression, having just talked about tight cheeks.
You better watch it, Phil.
I am watching it. Our backstage pass is wide open for all of you, man or woman.
Wide open.
Shut up. And all you got to do is go to philhendryshow.com. That's philhendryshow.com and get a backstage pass. It affords you access to almost 5,000 hours of marvelous, beautiful, scrumptious, cool, bitchin' audio.
You.
And also we have our video archives. And very soon, this week, we become Apple compatible. That's right. You'll be able to live stream, not live stream, but on-demand stream our video media from our website on your iPhone and on your iPad. It's a beautiful thing. It's another step in the right direction. It's a great, it's this, it's that, it's something else. By the way, our podcast is joining the Sideshow Network very soon. So you're going to see my ugly mug right up there at the top of iTunes. It's all a part of the great, brave new world of the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We'll be right back.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
I can smell your armpit.
Sorry. The money these guys are making, though, I'll tell you that.
It's a lot of money.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Got to kill this fan. We always have our little... It's been warm here at the El Pacifico. I don't know what it is. If you are watching us on Phil TV and HD, behind me is the roiling surf of the El Pacifico and that beautiful bluish, that kind of orangish, bluish...
hold on, because I've done interior design, so I don't mean to interrupt you, Phil, but I've done interior design. I know that is a rust. That is a rust. It's a rust and a peach. Okay.
Well,
hold on. Don't talk. I'm talking, when I'm talking color and I'm talking interior design.
I understand.
Right. In fact, if I hate to be, could you please?
Margaret.
Would you please?
All right.
What?
When Margaret talks about interior design, she likes to have...
I want to have my theme music.
The only guy that ever had theme music on his show is Steve Santos, the auxiliary police.
Jay Santos.
No.
Yes, it is. Jay Santos. That's Steve Santos.
Well, what do you mean theme music? Why did he get theme music?
They got the Citizens Auxiliary Police theme, okay?
Well, I wasn't told about that.
Well, Margaret, what, am I going to report all this stuff to you?
I have my theme music when I'm talking about interior design. Now, where is it?
Excuse me, ma'am, but I'm still looking for it.
You're still looking for it. God almighty.
All right, I think I have it here. Now, Margaret, you're going to be talking about... About what?
About interior design, for God's sake. Where it...
I can't find it. I'm sorry. I couldn't find it. I thought I had it, and I couldn't, you know... Oh, here it is. It's Mozart's symphony. Yeah, here it is. I'm sorry.
Well, come on, come on, come on.
Sorry, ma'am.
It's frozen up, Mr. Henry. I'm sorry.
It's frozen, Margaret.
What's frozen?
The computer.
Well, fix it!
All right, go take a walk. We'll fix it, okay?
No, here it is. All right, I've got it. Start it all over again.
Oh, God, why do I gotta go through this with you?
Don't you talk to... I'm Margaret Gray, and Phil was pointing out colors on the videocast of the sky behind him. He knows that it's in my contract when colors are talked of, especially a sunset. There's only one person on this staff that's allowed to talk about it, and that is me. Mr. Henry knew that. He knew that with full foreknowledge, and still insisted on trying to describe to Bud the colors of a sunset.
I have apologized.
Excuse me. Excuse me. Here then. Would you please start that again?
I'm sorry.
I apologize, ladies and gentlemen. Now. Ah, yes. As you can see, Phil, the sunset over the Channel Islands here in the Pacific Ocean. This, of course, is the Channel Islands Channel, if you will, the Santa Barbara Channel. The sunset is reflective of a rustish peach.
Did you mean rustic?
Stop the music. What did I get done telling you?
All right, Margaret, this is taking way too much time.
What did I get done? The sunset... is, I'll just talk without the music for a short period of time. The sunset reflects a very rust-like, there, does that make you happy?
Yes, that's better.
Rust-like appearance, the peach colors, the reds, the blues, the hues. And then, of course, we have... Ow!
Oh, sorry.
A staple gun, huh?
I didn't know... Okay.
I told you about that.
I told you not to have that staple gun, Bud.
I don't know the staple gun, but I would have said something.
Look, that's not your fault. He leaves that staple gun sitting there. Well, what was she doing sitting down in that chair?
I think she was trying to get a better look at the sunset.
Get out of here with this sunset and the music of Mozart, okay? So in any event, the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Now, what I was going to tell you about, are you guys done?
I don't want a staple gun. I could be injured.
I didn't know it was there.
Yes,
just sit down and be quiet, please.
Well, where's the sunset?
We're done with the sunset. Okay?
So that was on the air?
Yes, you screeching like that was on the air. How do you feel?
I feel fine. I'm not embarrassed at all. I'm glad people heard that. So they know what an absolute, what a felon is. This man, Mr. Dickman, and you tried to drive a staple a good half foot into my ass.
No, I didn't.
Yes, you did.
Obama Romney hit final stretch with bursts of fundraising. Now, this is interesting, folks, because guess what the number is? The number that they're talking about now is almost $1 billion. They have raised almost $1 billion. That's a lot of money, obviously. I don't need to tell you that. And this $1 billion is what? Who's on the phone there?
Young man, it's Frank Gray. I got a call.
Yeah, I told him to call off.
Frank, hold on for a minute, will you?
All right, I just...
Is he on... Put him on hold. What are you doing, man?
Margaret, want to talk?
I want to talk to my husband.
Not in a... Oh, God. Get that music out of here before I kill somebody. Yeah, Frank?
Hey, look, I don't want to... You know, I don't want to rain on anybody's parade, but he called me and said he had a problem.
Frank, it's Margaret. It put a staple gun on my chair.
Oh, it did, huh?
Yes, it did. And I don't know, I'm not saying that I want to sue, because I don't want Phil to be liable, but I think it needs to be talked to.
All right, where is it?
It's here, Bud.
I'm not an it.
Oh, look, no, I know you're not an it, Bud, but I'm using the term it so I don't do any gender confusion. Margaret has asked me not to, and I promised it that I would.
Well, okay.
Wait. I want to be clear here. Because I know that you're aware you have gender confusion.
Oh, yeah. It's part of my therapy. I've become aware of it.
Okay. So instead of confusing he and she, you're just calling everybody it?
That seems to be. I worked that out with Dr. Pendergrast, and it advised that. And I talked to it this afternoon.
Yes, Frank was over at Dr. Pendergrast. Do you know Baldrish Pendergrast?
What's his name?
Baldrish. Baldris. No?
No, I've never heard of him.
Well, I know you know Hamlin Emery.
Yes, Dr. Emery's a great...
Well, Baldrish Pendergrast has an alternative therapy dealing with senior citizens that have neurosyphilis, which is not so advanced as it creates, you know, retardation, but is advanced enough. Oh, look, there's the music.
All right, so...
Hold on, Frank, and we'll talk about it on the other side.
What is it with these breaks? You get that under control. Don't ever call me in front. Don't have it call me, okay? I heard it talking.
All right, we'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show, Baldrish Pendergrast.
Well, it's a real guy.
Yeah.
Is Jason J. Delmonico home?
No, it hasn't gotten home yet.
Phil Hendry.